The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Also on Sirius XM Channel 80, hear who Draymond and KD said broke up the Warriors? Hear who they blamed it on? Draymond and KD sat there, did a 24-minute interview. Spectacular interview out of Draymond and very, very interesting answers from KD. But the one note where I was like, oh, guys, hear who they blame? The Max Kellerman Show. You can hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, KD and Draymond say that the Warriors mishandled the 2018 incident that contributed to the team's breakup. In an interview on Chips on Bleacher Report, where Draymond Green was interviewing his former teammate, Kevin Durant, Draymond asked him point blank, was our thing why you bounced? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. KD said it was the way it was handled by the organization. They both said they believed Steve Kerr and President GM Bob Myers were at fault for the way they handled the players' emotional back and forth on the floor that spilled over into the locker room. And look, Draymond crossed the line, right? It was an overtime loss to the Clippers in November 18. And the players' argument ultimately contributed to KD, at least that's how it's perceived, leaving the team following the 18-19 season. Now, first I got to say, this era of media, for so long, in order to reach the masses and tell their story and amplify their brands, athletes had to deal with the media, guys like me. And now with social media and these guys becoming media moguls themselves, they realize the power of what they've got and they can own it. They can control it. And on the one hand, that means that they can steer the narrative and a lot of the kind of stuff that you get from players more closely resembles the idolatry of the, you know, 1920s, you know. Babe Ruth got a venereal disease. Everyone said he had a bellyache from eating too many hot dogs, right? Like, because that's what they told the kids. And then, you know, eventually there was this new journalism, a new wave of journalists who thought, no, let's tell real stories, you know, along with the athletes' foibles and everything. Let's flesh them out as three-dimensional human beings because the real story is going to be more interesting than the story we make up. Life is more interesting than, you know, some sports writer's imagination. And so we got a lot of, you know, a lot of that stuff in the decades since. But now that athletes are empowered to control the narrative, as everyone says, more and more, we're moving away a little bit from that kind of journalism. Now, that doesn't mean you don't get valuable stuff when athletes interview athletes. When KD can feel it's a safe space for him to talk to someone like Draymond, because Draymond, will ask relevant questions. And number two, he doesn't have to imagine what it's like to be in KD's position because he's in a very similar position. I mean, there are differences, of course, but KD knows he's talking to someone who knows the ins and outs of his life and what he goes through. So, like, and KD even talked about that. At first, I thought the media was so smart. They knew so much more about me. And then as time went on, I realized, no, these questions aren't that great. Now I want to get a little deeper into this. If you are Kevin Durant or LeBron James or someone like that, or Naomi Osaka, and you say, you wake up in the morning, you go, I'm one of the best who ever did what I do. It's taken an ungodly amount of practice and work to get here on top of all my natural physical gifts. And I do philanthropic work. I feel like I'm a good person. I'm trying. Why is it half of the stuff I read, it feels like, is negative about me? Right? I can understand I'm not perfect. 1% negative. Okay, but why so much negativity? Oh, the media is just looking for something negative. They're not entirely wrong. Because what we know is, I said this on First Take today, yeah, Superman was not as interesting a superhero as like Spider-Man, right? Well, the one thing can hurt him is kryptonite. So if you ain't got no kryptonite, you're out of luck with Superman. It's less interesting. The more invulnerable, the more invincible you are, the less interesting it is. When Roy Jones was in his prime as a fighter, it was great to watch him perform, but it was all a solo act. No one could really put him in a fight. Muhammad Ali when he was young. Then as he got older, Ali got older and he aged, and now guys could put him in fights. That was the most interesting part of his career, right? You want to see back and forth. You want to see what he's made of. And what we realize is, if all we're doing is telling everyone how great the athletes are, they're actually less interesting. We want to paint them as the human beings that they are, and that includes all the foibles and all their problems, because no one's perfect. But the athlete's thinking, wait a minute, this is out of proportion. Why so much? And that's where you get the conflict, with athletes feeling, I think the press, especially in an era of social media where everyone's a critic, is too negative. And then a guy like KD, so on top of that, a guy like KD can get to some of the stuff we're looking for to flesh KD out in a better way than, say, I can. Because I haven't lived the life of an NBA player. Not only in this case does Draymond Green have direct experience with KD and what he's going through. That he, like, you know, not only does he have like a similar situation because he's gone through the NBA, but he has direct experience with KD. Like, they were actually teammates. That was the kind of interview you hear Shaq and Penny do 20 years after, you know, they're done playing. You don't usually hear that while guys are still active. So it was a fascinating interview. Really an interesting interview. KD came across as authentic, highly intelligent. And if you're a student of life, you want to learn from other people's experiences too, especially another student of life. And that's how KD came across, as a student of life. And what he had to say was interesting and I think valuable, except all that was preamble, except for the part where they both blame the front office for him leaving. Come on, guys. Come on. I understand you saying Steve Kerr and Bob Myers had some responsibility. Well, they just punished Draymond and like that was going to make it better for KD. That part I get. And if the front office is smart, they'll learn from that. The way Aaron Rodgers is trying to teach Gutekunst. You know, like, this is how you do it. KD and Draymond are giving a blueprint to Steve Kerr and Bob Myers, who are great at what they do, but here's a way to get even better. Here's how you may have handled that differently. But you gotta, I know it's easy when those guys aren't in the room and you two are and you two are friends again, to say, no, it wasn't the incident. It was the way the organization handled it. Come on, KD and Draymond. You two can iron that out yourself. You don't need an organization to get in the way. Or to blame. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
That's in the bottom of the third. The pitch, and Ohtani swings, and he lifts a missile out into right center. That one is out of here. Home run, Shohei Ohtani. That is number 40 of the season. And how about tonight? On this Wednesday, it's showtime.
I hope people understand what Shohei Ohtani is doing. Look, no one's done this since Babe Ruth. Now, look, Babe Ruth was at his best a better pitcher than Ohtani and at his best a better hitter than Ohtani, but he didn't do both at the same time the way Ohtani's doing it. And Babe Ruth was playing against, most of the guys he was playing against weren't, you know, training since they were kids internationally, you know, with third generation coaches to get to be as great as, you know, like the players in the major leagues are today. They had day jobs off, you know, they had winter jobs and everything. They're little guys, malnourished half the time, right? Ohtani is facing much, much better opposition. That was his 40th home run, which leads the major leagues. He's 8-1 with a sub-3 ERA, a whip barely above 1. More strikeouts than innings pitched. I guess a lot of guys do that nowadays. And leading the league with 40 home runs, and he's leading the league in slugging percentage. My God! You know, I've been waiting to see something like this. Baseball's such an old sport. You know, the major leagues have been in existence for over 120 years. And you're living through an era you may never see again in your lifetime. No one's seen this since Babe Ruth, and not even quite with Babe Ruth. When he was a full-time pitcher, he wasn't a full-time hitter. He was a great hitter. But by the time he became Babe Ruth, the hitter that you know, he wasn't really a pitcher anymore. Ohtani is doing both at the same time just about as well as can be done. Bob Costas on Greeny with Mike Greenberg this morning.
You could say that Ted Williams hitting .406 or some of the seasons that Ruth had or Triple Crown seasons that Mantle had in the 50s or Barry Bonds with or without steroids at his peak. You could say that some of those seasons – were greater seasons. There have been greater pitching seasons than this, greater hitting seasons than this. But this is unique in that nobody has ever done these things simultaneously to anything like this level in the same season. So I don't know if it's the best season ever, but it stands alone for its uniqueness, obviously.
It is. It does. And it may be the most special season ever. By the way, that home run that we played for you before, his 40th, his major league leading 40th of the season, to go with an 8-1 sub-3 ERA, barely above one whip, more strikeouts than innings pitched record, was courtesy of Angels Radio AM 830. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Yeah, right. You know what this is? Oh, I thought there'd be some imaging, some announcer, something. No, it's just me, I'm the announcer. This is my NFC North.
Yeah, it's time for Max Kellerman's NFC North preview.
Not exactly John Facenda, but okay. Who gives the Packers the biggest challenge? Look, we all know the Packers are the class of the division. Aaron Rodgers gives them a premium no one else has, almost in football history, let alone the NFC North right now. Packers got a defense. Packers have probably the best overall receiver in the game at this moment. They got a running game. And they got an offensive line, and they got a lot of stuff. And they have Aaron Rodgers. And let me tell you something else. Matt LaFleur ain't ever taking the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands again with the game on the line. Not the NFC Championship game. He ain't giving that ball to Tom Brady, that's for sure. Rodgers has gotten better every year under LaFleur. First year, game manager, but they started winning a lot. They make the NFC Championship game. Second year, not just a game manager. One of the greatest seasons of all time. MVP an NFC championship game because he knew that he understood the system now. And now sky's the limit, especially the motivation. One more year and then he's out to become, Brett Favre only won one Super Bowl. Rodgers can win two, but who stands in the way? All right, let's go over it. Let's go over this carefully here. First of all, you have your Chicago Bears. And what's the problem with the Chicago Bears year in and year out? They don't have a quarterback. They seem to have fixed that. Justin Fields looks like a phenom so far. And by the way, it's the reason I wanted the Giants to draft him and trade Daniel Jones if you had to. If they had to. But they have Justin Fields. Andy Dalton is under the misapprehension that he's going to be the starter this year. I mean, he may start out that way. But how long is that going to last? The problem with the Bears challenging the Packers for supremacy is Justin Fields is a first-year rookie starter quarterback, and if he indeed starts. And it's one thing to be, this is your first year as a starter. It's another thing for that to be your rookie season as a quarterback. I understand eventually someone's going to do it. But to this point in the history of the game, no one who fit that description has ever even taken a team to a Super Bowl, let alone won it, and the Packers have a Super Bowl roster. That's what the Bears are up against. I don't think the Bears, even with their defense, which is not quite what it was a couple years ago, let's face it, there's some better defenses in the NFL right now, but even with their defense, I don't see the Bears having done enough on the offensive line the way it couldn't protect the quarterback last year. I don't see them truly competing with the Packers. And that leaves people, the Vikings. The bottom line about the Vikings, because they'll be able to defend and Kirk Cousins will put up numbers. Do you believe in Kirk Cousins? He's going to come to work in a plexiglass shield or something. What was it? Instead of getting a vaccination, he's like, yeah, I could just get a vaccination. I understand that every credible scientist on Earth is like, yeah, get the vaccination. It's important for all of us, plus it's safe. But you know what I'll do instead? I'm not sure I believe every leading medical expert that ever lived. Let me instead surround myself in plexiglass or whatever it is. All right, Kirk. Something tells me I ain't going to win a Super Bowl that way, but maybe that's just me. I don't see Kirk Cousins challenging Aaron Rodgers when push comes to shove. When it comes down to it, I just don't see it. The Vikings can play defense. They have some offensive weapons. They can run the ball, obviously, when their guy's healthy. They can throw the ball. But they're not otherwise better than the Packers, and the premium Aaron Rodgers gives you over Kirk Cousins is significant. But I would say they are the biggest threat in the NFC North. And that does it. That does it, Raj. That's the entire division. Yep. That's all. The Bears and the Vikings and the Packers. Yep. So there you have your NFC North.
More.
What?
Wait, there's another like animal or something in that division. Ah.
Well, I know the Lions used to play in that division at some point. Are they?
Give Detroit a break, man. They listen. Give Detroit some love.
I love Detroit. I'm a big Detroit fan. I used to go to see Emmanuel Stewart, the great Kronk trainer, Kronk gym trainer, and colleague on HBO of mine, ringside, one of the greatest boxing trainers of all time. And he would pick me up from the airport in a gold Rolls Royce and gave me my own Kronk jacket with my name on it and everything. I love me some Detroit. And by the way, Detroit's Motown and Detroit. Uh-huh. But everyone said, bail out Wall Street, not Detroit. Detroit got bailed out, paid the money back first. I love me some Detroit. But the Lions, Detroit deserves so much better, Raj. They deserve so much better. So does Thanksgiving, by the way.
I know. That's a shame. But that's when everyone plays flag football. They put that game on early and get it out.
Yeah, right. Everyone's football. In the backyard.
Come back and watch the Cowboys.
That's right. Look, a wild turkey. Yeah. No, I mean, come on. Think of how hapless the Lions were with Matthew Stafford. They were like, you know what we could do here? What if we downgraded at quarterback? But they'll have some young talent coming in. They acquired a bunch of draft picks. The Lions may be a much improved team a year or two from now, but for right now, it's a three-team division. That's my NFC North preview. By the way, since we're talking NFC North, want to hear what Andy Dalton said about Justin Fields? Before I get to the phones, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Hear the KD Draymond interview? What'd you think? 888-SAY-ESPN. You want to hear what Andy Dalton said? The Bears quarterback, for what it's worth, for now, said about Justin Fields, the guy I told everyone the Bears need to jump up to pick, and they did. The guy that killed me that the Giants passed on, but I know they got a good deal to trade back. But is Daniel Jones going to be as good as Justin Fields? Will Daniel Jones ever be as good as Justin Fields will be this year? This is what Andy Dalton said about Justin Fields.
There's so much excitement with Justin. And, it's deservedly so. I mean, he's a first-round pick. And do I want the fans behind me and this team and all that kind of stuff? Yes. Do I want them behind Justin? Absolutely, I do. That's not my focus. I can't focus on all that right now. Like I've said before, Justin's going to have his time, and Justin's going to have a great career. But right now, it's my time.
Well, Andy Dalton's not wrong. It is his time right now. It's right now is Andy Dalton's time. Let me see what time it is. About 20 after 2 p.m. on August 19th, here Eastern Standard. Andy Dalton's time's just about up. It's just about up. How many weeks can he start? Look, is Justin Fields better than Andy Dalton right now? Based on what I've seen, yeah, I think Justin Fields is right now better than Andy Dalton ever was, actually. And Andy Dalton was pretty good. Remember when Andy Dalton, when you're talking about the good ascending quarterbacks, I brought this up the other day with Derek Carr and Andrew Luck. There was a time when you said, of all the ascending quarterbacks, who do I want? You know, the Andrew Luck might be one. Man, boy, Derek Carr might be way up there, right? There was a time not all that long ago where you looked at Cam Newton and said, boy, that's a great young ascending quarterback. And Andy Dalton was one of those guys. Hey, he's a young guy, good arm, you know, some NFL experience already, the red rifle. Boy, he's going to be a good one. Give me some Andy Dalton. And that time has come and gone. The Bengals wasted whatever was there of his prime. And now he's keeping Justin Fields' seat warm. By the way, you know when all's right in the world? Hate to bring this up to people in Boston, but all's right in the world when the Yankees sweep the Red Sox. Oh, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. This kid Velasquez on the Yankees, anyone seen him? Grew up in the Bronx. Went to school in the Bronx, comes to the big leagues finally as an extended minor league career, not a big prospect. He helped win all three games. Boy, that was some baseball last night, boy. That's right. That's right, Raj. So what? That's right. I'm a Yankees fan. So what?
No, but this is a new Max Kellerman record. We talked two different baseball topics, not just in one show, in one segment.
Well, I'll give you another baseball topic. You see Luis Gill?
You ain't got one.
See Luis Gill? He's the first pitcher in baseball history to have a scoreless start in each of his three career appearances. First in history, Yankees guy, Yankees prospect, came up. He's 3-0, 18 strikeouts, no runs allowed in three in his first three Major League Baseball starts, and he throws 100 miles an hour. Drop the mic!
You need to get out on that. On that note, man, you need to get out of here.
I love it. The Mets are falling apart, the Red Sox are falling apart, and the Yankees are skyrocketing. Things are as it should be. But really, listen, if you're talking baseball, it's the Shohei Ohtani story right now. The guy is, I can't get over it. You know, like, baseball attracts stat geeks like me. Even when you're a kid, you open baseball card packs before you had, like, before there was an internet, because you wanted to see everyone's stats on the back. How do you even do an Ohtani baseball card? I guess you get two different stat lines, one for a pitcher, one for a hitter, or do you do two different cards? I mean, I just can't get over it. 8-1 with a sub-3 ERA, more strikeouts than innings pitched, and a whip just above one. With 40 home runs, which leads the league as he leads the league in slugging percentage? It's never been done. Never, ever been done. Forever, ever. This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from above. That's the word I was looking for. The Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Coming up, Joe Theismann had a lower extremity injury, as Dak did. It was much more gruesome, of course. I'll ask Theismann if Dak should play before the season opener. DoorDash is here. This summer of Dash Pass is here. Right now, Dash Pass members are getting $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift. And save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass. In the DoorDash app. Stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. Joe Theismann next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80. Think Mac Jones can inch closer to taking Cam's job tonight? Would Belichick start a rookie? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Guests join me on the Goodyear hotline like Joe Theismann. Joe, are you there?
I am here, Max. How are you?
Joe, of course, is best known for his role in Cannonball Run 2.
Yes.
The critically acclaimed
movie.
I don't know. Those are great, those Cannonball Run movies. Joe.
Yeah, they were.
Let me apologize in advance, because eventually I'm going to get to asking you about Dak's injury. And I'm sure whenever you come on a show, right, like, everyone wants to somehow tie it into an injury. Hey, can you give us? But I have plenty of stuff to get to before then. So I apologize in advance for that. I want to start this, though. I said the other day, after one preseason game, how's this for a hot take? I think this could be the best quarterback class ever. In the sense that I see five guys to me who look like they have a chance to be longtime NFL quarterbacks, health willing, of course. What do you think about this quarterback class?
I think it's a very accurate statement. But I mean, I'll take you back to 1971 when Jim Plunkett, Dan Pastorini, Archie Manning, myself, we all came out of school in 1971. And then you think of the 83 class with Marino and that group. I think this class comes in with a lot of talent. Of course, the eras were different. So that's the one thing we have to look at in football. This is a throwing era. Mm-hmm. And this group really has the ability to throw the football. They play big-time football. I tend to agree with you that this could be the best class, but I will always say this. The quarterback position is absolutely the single most dependent position on the field. Mm-hmm. So it isn't just the fact that you're starting somewhere or you're going to be the starting quarterback. But the next question is what's the team around you look like? Remember, Jim Plunkett went to New England. And then he wound up having success in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Then he went and had more success with the Raiders. So it isn't always where you start. It's sort of where you finish and what the team looks like around you. But I do agree, this is a very impressive group of guys that can throw the football and move.
Yeah, except for Mac Jones, who can also do everything but move, it seems. Talking to Joe Theismann.
He doesn't need to in that system, Max. You think Tom never moved in that system, and Bill invested a ton of money on the defensive side of the ball. with free agency. So, you know,
and on his tight ends, Joe, on his tight, like, you know, they were really been missing talent at the tight end position, which is huge in his offense, and now they have it.
Absolutely. Well, you take a look at the way New England's offense was constructed. It was really constructed through the slot position and the tight ends. The wide receivers, other than Randy Moss, have had very little impact as far as what happens on a football field for that team.
Yeah.
I think that changes a little bit more. I think they've leaned towards the wide receiver a little bit more. They brought in the tight end position. And, you know, Mac looked really good. It was the game we broadcast the other night, New England and Washington. I thought he stepped out and did a terrific job. Yeah, I mean, but it's preseason. It's not necessarily against the ones. You're not scheming against an individual. Those are all factors that have to be considered. But if you want to have an eye test, he passed it.
So you win the Super Bowl in 82, right? And
right.
You
that's,
win the MVP.
Figure, right? Mm-hmm.
You win the MVP the following year, and that's when that draft class came out, the great class, Marino and
yep.
Jim Kelly and John Elway. Looking back at the time as the best player in football at that same position, when you saw those guys come in, were you thinking, here comes next? That's one. And two, which one of those guys early on did you think, all right, that's going to be the guy?
Well, you know, it's really funny. I always like to look at the position, even though I played it. I mean, I always try to compare myself to others and say, how did I match up against Roger Staubach and Bob Greasy and those guys that I played against? And when I saw this class come in, I said, you know, this is a talented group of guys. It really is. I mean, Dan Marino comes in with all kinds of credentials, being able to throw the football around. You know, John Elway gave up baseball, basically, to play football. He used baseball to help himself in football. And I thought John had the ability to be able to be. That's the one I looked at. I said, you know, he brings at that time there
athletic
was more
ability.
Movement, quarterback
yeah.
position, and I yeah. thought, you know, that he's the guy.
That's interesting to me. I thought you would go with Marino based on the way he threw it around, especially early on. But all those guys were so talented. Real quick, before I get to Dak and the injury, the inevitable question to Joe Theismann, of course. Sorry, Joe. Which of these young quarterbacks do you like the best at this moment, or would you project to have the best career, barring injury?
Oh, gosh. Like I said, it depends on how well the team is around him. I mean, Zach Wilson's going into a Jets team that still have so many questions about him, what's going to happen. Chicago's got a pretty darn good defense, so Justin Fields looks like he has the ability to move around and make plays.
Mm-hmm.
You see what Trey Lance has done out in San Francisco. I think down in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, you know, it's again, what's going to be around him? What are they going to be able to do? New coach, new system, new world for him. And then you look at Mac Jones up in New England. I think if I was going to say one guy I thought that would have probably success, right, it would be Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Because, people have asked me, what's the most important asset that a quarterback possesses? And I'll tell you, it's a great defense.
Mm.
I had one. And it makes a difference. And it bails you out of a lot of bad situations. It keeps you in games. So I think Mac has a chance to be able to step into a role up there and be the quarterback that they need to be efficient for Bill and his football team.
Joe, talking to Joe Theismann on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers told Dan Le Batard that essentially, like, he revolutionized the game. He changed the game. And he doesn't get a lot of credit for this. And I want you to weigh in on this. And he made an interesting point to me. It's not just that he could make off-platform throws unlike anyone until we saw Mahomes come around, right? It's that before him, guys who threw for a lot of yards and touchdowns did not take care of the ball like him. And he mentioned when he got in the league, 30 touchdowns, single-digit interceptions had not been done that much, and now, like, the whole league is doing it, right? Like, guys are doing that much more, not just 30 touchdowns. Do you think Rodgers deserves more credit than he's getting for that?
I think it's a fair assessment. I really do. I think that, you know, coaches will look at Aaron Rodgers' success, touchdown to interception ratio, and says, we need our guy to be more like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people talk about an individual and say, we need him to be more like that, I think that has an awful lot of influence on what goes on, not only on the Packers, but also around the National Football League. And more guys will do that. And more coaches will look for guys coming out of college that protect the ball in that regard. Aaron Rodgers is the greatest pure passer that this game has ever seen.
Mm.
We've had guys who have strong arms. We have guys who have spun it very well and tight. We've seen guys that have been accurate. We've seen guys have been able to move on the run. All those four things we've had different individuals do, but no one has ever put all four things together like Aaron does.
Wow.
That's why I say. Now, you could. Now, I
Mahomes,
think
maybe,
the
but
greatest
yeah.
quarterback that ever played. Now, Patrick is working himself towards that
right,
direction.
Right, he hasn't done it.
But
long
enough. He doesn't have the tightness of a spiral. He doesn't have the quickness of the release. That's the thing. You know, Patrick's release is a little bit longer. But Aaron gets it out so quick. See, if Aaron Rodgers, to me, real quick, is like Michael Vick. How do you practice against somebody that gets the ball to the receivers that quick? You don't have anybody on your football team that can do that.
Right.
So when a DB breaks on a ball, it's getting there before he can get to it, where in practice he might have gotten to it.
Wow.
So that's why I qualify Aaron with that particular statement.
And then he has a very fast CPU. He's processing information quickly and the whole thing. All right, Joe, here is the inevitable injury question, because when I saw Dak's injury on TV, it's like, oh, what's that remind me of? Of course, my mind goes to you, and of course yours was a much more horrific injury. But you would have an interesting perspective on this, I think. Do you think that Dak should play in the preseason? Or would you, if you were Dak, not play in the preseason and just wait for the regular season?
If I was Mike McCarthy, I would not play him in the preseason. Mm-hmm. I would give him more of an opportunity to be able to get more and more comfortable and get over the arm soreness that he has. I don't know what. See, if it was a new system, I might say sort of get him out there. But because he's been with Mike, I don't think there's a necessity for him to go out on the football field. You basically understand what it is. Now, I want to take a second and explain to you about the mechanism of throwing. What happens Alex Smith, myself, we've all broken our right foot. Mm-hmm. The right foot is the foot you push off of. That's the power leg. So what happens is, if you picture the throwing mechanism as 100%, and a portion of that is taken away, whether it's your arm and your leg, it has to be made up someplace else.
Shoulder.
So if you lose 10% of the power in your leg, that means it has to be made up somewhere else in your arm.
Mm.
When I tried to come back, Max, I had soreness in my arm at a place that I've never had it before. It wasn't a tired arm. It was soreness. And then think back to Cam Newton when he hurt his foot. He changed his delivery a little bit. He hasn't really been the same throwing the ball since then. So it's a carryover, and it took me 2 years really to get over it, to be honest with you. It took me 2 years to get my stroke back to where I felt like I was putting the ball where I wanted to, and because I used to go and work out for teams and throw the ball around just during when I was doing broadcasting. So to me, it's, you know, Dak's arm soreness, I think, is directly related to the fact that the power isn't quite in his right leg where it will be at some point in time.
Well,
so that's the relationship between those two.
Joe, this has been a true pleasure, and I hope you're not a stranger to this show. I know, Raj, we need to talk to Joe as much as he'll talk to us. That was great analysis, which is to be expected, of course, but a real pleasure, Joe. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Max. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Joe Theismann, ladies and gentlemen, the great Joe Theismann. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead, Goodyear more driven. Coming up, got a question about your NFL team? Ax Max is next. The Max Kellerman Show, brought to you by Capital One Auto Navigator, where you can find a car, get pre-qualified instantly, and see your real monthly payment without impacting your credit score. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
As a fan, this is amazing.
This is
the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson, and I'm ready.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons and the Utah Utes. Watch out for them. They're ready.
This is Sarah Spain, and I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80. Is your team making the playoffs? Get in for Ax Max at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com.
Ax Max.
All right. What's everyone got to ax me? Drew in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. What you got to ax me?
Yo, Max, you've been wrong again about boxing. I told you Charlo Castano was a 50-50 fight. You didn't want to
right
listen.
About that.
Rigo is boring. It's the sweet sign of bruising, not the sweet
Hold on a second, but I adjust based on what I see. I agree. It, like, I Rigondeaux does not throw enough punches anymore. That's the problem. What else?
No, what I said was Charlo Castano. I told you it was 50-50. When I called, you laughed at that, said no way.
I didn't laugh. I did not laugh.
Rigo is boring.
Well, I agree with that.
Shout out to you, Tommy Faraj.
I agree that Rigo has been boring recently. That's true. And throughout his career, he's walked a fine line.
Bruising, Max. It's hit and don't get hit.
So what's your point? What do you want to ask me?
I had to give you a hard time about that, Max.
All right, well, okay. So yes. Okay, so wait a minute, Drew in Los Angeles. You can cherry pick two instances where, one, you turned out to be right as Rigo aged. He got boring. And two, Castaño upset the odds, and I thought won that fight against Charlo. Whatever the official decision, I thought he won. I did think that. You can cherry pick those two times to beat your chest that you were right. What else?
My question is, Max, what round is Canelo stopping Plant?
I do think he stops Plant, and I think it's in the second half of the fight. I think Plant's mobile and talented and fast. But I think Canelo's skills are in full bloom, and he's a greater fighter. Zach in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I'm just calling in to see your NFC West predictions and to ask you if you think Richard Sherman will ever play in the NFL again.
I hope so. I hope Richard gets right and whatever he's going through. Listen, this is a real thing, and it's not to have anyone avoid responsibility. And I remember this, I hate to say it, when the Junior Seau story originally broke. At first I heard CTE, and I thought people are, you know, abdicating him of responsibility, and they're abdicating responsibility. And I thought, then I learned more about CTE, and I thought, and that was an unpopular thing to think, so I didn't say it too much. I just hinted, hey, you know, like, I don't know if we can blame... But it turns out that that's absolutely a real thing. So that's the first place my mind goes now when I see otherwise, it seems to me from afar, reasonable. And I've talked to Richard Sherman. I've been on TV with Richard Sherman. And I followed his career, as we all have, you know, from Compton to Stanford to the NFL. And had a lot of admiration for him, but this is like he's got to get right, and then maybe we'll see him again in the NFL. NFC West, I think, is still the Rams, even without Cam Akers, but it's tight. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, whole other hour coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.